When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. The first box showed up on a Monday. Brown paper package tied up with string sitting just outside my front door. Inside was a nest with broken bits of blue robin eggs and a few half-eaten gummy worms. The second box appeared on a Tuesday. It was inside my favorite cafe, on the seat of my favorite chair, my name written in cursive. The box was wrapped in old Sunday comics, and inside was a pink and picked-at baby blanket that I thought I had lost over 3 decades ago. The third box came on Wednesday. I found it in a locker at the gym, tiny and purple, and inside was a seashell. When I put it to my ear, I heard the song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, played by a trumpet. The fourth box came on Thursday. I walked out of work, unlocked my car, and there was a black box with a white ribbon around it. In the box was 3 keys and a note saying, "You will need these in 4.5 years. Keep them on your key ring." Who was sending me these boxes? The first teller for this episode is Laura Sims, an award-winning performer, writer, and educator who advocates storytelling as compassion action for personal and community transformation. She's one of the first storytellers I ever heard, and she also organizes the storytelling in Central Park in New York City at the Hans Christian Andersen statue. This is her telling, Moon and Otter.
In the beginning of time, the moon was always full, and he lived in the sky, until some old grizzly bear clouds came and chewed on the moon. Then he decided to come and live on the earth. He lived right alongside a lake, and Moon's only friend was Otter. But you know how it is when you go far away from home. You just want to go back home again. Moon wanted to go back to the sky, and he thought if he got himself a wife, maybe he wouldn't be so lonely. One day he said to Otter, "Do you know any girls?" And Otter said, "Yeah, on the other side of the lake, there are 10 pretty little green frogs and 1 ugly green frog." Moon said, "I'd like to meet those girls." Otter sent word round, and those 10 pretty little green frogs, they just did up their hair, put on their little buckskin dresses, put their tiny canoes in the water, and they just started rowing right over to Moon. Little green ugly frog didn't have a comb. She put up her hair with mud and sticks. She didn't have a new dress. She just had an old blanket with holes in it, so she brushed it off. She didn't even have a canoe. She put a stick on the water, broke a branch for an oar, and she just rowed right over to Moon. Those 10 pretty little green frogs, they said, "Hi, Moon, look at me. Don't I look good?" Little green ugly frog was so shy, she didn't say anything. She just kept her head down. Moon looked at all of those girls. Then he said to Otter, "I think I'll marry Little Green Ugly Frog." "Why her?" said Otter. Moon said, "She's got magic power. She can bring things back to life. She'd be a good wife." It's your choice, said Otter. Those 10 pretty little green frogs were so mad that they just rolled right back across the lake in a huff. Little green ugly frog, she was so shy, she just rode back slowly and got ready for the wedding. I told you she didn't have a comb, so she just picked some wildflowers and put them in her hair. She didn't have a new dress, so she just turned that blanket around so the holes went down the back. She brushed off the stick, broke a new branch for an oar, and she just started rowing right over to Moon. Those 10 pretty little green frogs were so jealous that they lined up and she had to row right by them. They scratched her and they pinched her. They made her cry and bleed. She was quite a mess by the time she got over to Moon. But when Moon saw her, he just picked up Little Green Ugly Frog, took some yellow cornmeal he had in his pocket that heals, and he sprinkled it on her skin and made her better. Then he picked up Little Green Ugly Frog and placed her by his heart. Then Moon went back to the sky. You know the story's true, because if you look at the full moon, you'll see the face of Little Green Ugly Frog. And you know he made the right choice. You know how the moon gets smaller and smaller and smaller each month? It's those old grizzly bear clouds. They're still chewing on Moon. But Little Green Ugly Frog in his heart, she brings him right back to life. It's been happening ever since. It will always happen. And that's true.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Billy's Troll Bridge Security Service. London Bridge fell down because there were no trolls to keep the goats and general public off of it. Since bridges have crossed rivers, Billy's family has been guarding them. This family-run business provides a number of services, from classic grumpy tactics, hoarding treasure, telling crossing riddles, and of course, eating wayward heroes and goats. All of our trolls have health insurance, so should a big goat come trip-trapping across the bridge, you won't have to worry. Billy's Troll Bridge Security Service. We don't take gruff from anyone. The podcast has a new patron. Ted Parkhurst is more than a patron of the arts. He is the founder and creator of Parkhurst Brothers Publishers, a publishing company that focuses primarily on the American storytelling movement, publishing books by ethnic and professional storytellers, writing for general readers, educators, librarians, and fellow storytellers. It's also said that when he whistles, the birds themselves will tell him their stories. Thank you for being a patron, Ted, and making this podcast possible. The fifth box appeared on Friday. It was an apple box perched on top of my outside table with 10 comfy sweaters rolled neatly in all colors of the rainbow. Each one fit me perfectly. The sixth box came on Saturday, green, long, and skinny, sitting on my kitchen counter, a beautiful smell drifting around it. Inside was filled with fresh-cut lavender and thyme. The seventh box was delivered on Sunday. It was white and tied with string, dropped on my porch by a big ginger cat. Inside was a fresh loaf of bread, still warm. There was a tag on that box with only four words, from Colina and Christina. Now who could they be? The second teller for this episode is Laura Deal from Colorado. She's also a writer, dream reader, and shares things that inspire her through her blog, The First Church of Metaphor. Google it. It's a good time. The next story she tells is Sticky, Sticky Pine.
Long ago in Japan, there lived a poor woodcutter who gathered firewood to sell in his village. Despite his poverty and hunger, he was very kind. He never wanted to hurt any living thing, not animals, not trees. He knew that if a tree was hurt, it would ooze sap, just like a person would bleed if they got a scratch or a scrape. So he never broke the branches from a living tree. He only gathered the dead wood from the forest. One day he was out walking in the forest, looking for wood that had fallen. He was out near the center of the forest by his favorite old pine tree. He loved that tree and knew it was a symbol of good fortune. In fact, the year before he had found a little twig that the pine tree had dropped, and he carried it in his pocket for good luck. So this day, when he walked near the old pine, he heard a voice say, "Sticky, sticky is my sap, for my tender twigs are snapped." The woodcutter looked all around. "Who said that?" The voice came again. "Sticky, sticky is my sap, for my tender twigs are snapped." He walked around to the other side of the pine and saw three branches had been broken off the pine, and the broken places were oozing sap. It made his heart hurt to see it. The woodcutter tore a strip of cloth from the bottom of his robe and said, "Now these tender twigs I'll wrap, and in that way I'll stop the sap." And so he did. He wound that cloth around the ends of those broken branches. As soon as he had finished, the tree shivered. Then it shivered again, and a cascade of gold and silver coins came raining down from the tree and fell all around the woodcutter. He stared, amazed. Even though he knew the pine was a symbol of good fortune, he never expected it would actually give him money. He thanked the tree very kindly, and then he gathered up the coins in his basket and his robe and took them home. When he got there, he put the coins into baskets that he had at home, and the money just kept coming out of his robe until he had five baskets full of coins. He couldn't believe his good fortune. He knew he would never go hungry again, and he would be able to help the other poor people who lived in the village. But then, as he was counting his money, a face appeared in the window. It was another woodcutter. In fact, it was the mean woodcutter who had broken the branches on the pine tree in the center of the forest. He looked in and said, "Where did all those coins come from? That looks mighty good to me." Well, the kind woodcutter began to tell the other about the old pine in the middle of the forest, but he didn't even get to the part where the pine spoke before the mean woodcutter ran off to see for himself. He knew just which pine the kind woodcutter was talking about. As he approached, the old pine tree remembered him, and it said, "Sticky, sticky is my blood. Touch me, you'll receive a flood." "Oh," the mean woodcutter thought, "that's exactly what I want, a flood of coins." He grabbed another branch and snapped it off. But do you think that tree gave him coins? No, the pine tree covered him in sticky, sticky sap from head to toe. He couldn't move. He couldn't even call for help because he was afraid if he opened his mouth, the sap would get in. He was stuck for 4 days, one day for each branch that he had broken, before the sap softened and he could walk back to his village. And from that day on, he never broke a living branch from a tree again. In fact, he could be heard to say, "Fortune favors those who are kind."
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Laura Sims and Laura Deal on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can find me and the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor is Christina Vincent. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a story seed from Laura Packer. You can find her lovely story and writing prompts by looking her up on social media. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors and let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. If you'd like to become a supporter of the podcast or discover sponsorship opportunities, you can find links on storystorypodcast.com. If it isn't in the cards to support the podcast right now, no worries. Perhaps you'd be willing to go write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. head over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies. And if you tune in, you will hear more stories next week. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.